Today, though, we are talking about education. We are starting our series of interviews with candidates for school board in the November 4th election, and you have until next Monday to update your voter registration for the November 4th election. And in our 2 o'clock hour, candidates for the Lawrence Township School Board on the northwest side, northeast side of the city will be here. But from the center of the city, from the north center part, north central, in fact, they got a high school named after that entire neighborhood. We have the candidates on the ballot for Washington Township School Board. Washington Township is a school district of about 11,161 students. A little more than half of the student body, 53%, get free lunch, which means 47% are on free and reduced lunch. Their overall graduation rate is 82%. Amen. Their I-STEP passing rate is 71%. These school board candidates want to get up there. They want to be a little bit better. And in terms of diversity, Drew, they are so diverse, no one group is a majority in the Washington Township schools. It is literally a melting pot of people. The two candidates on the ballot for the Washington Township School Board are Donald Kite and William Turner, and they join me live. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Let me start with Donald Kite. Why are you running?
Mr. Brown, I've been a member of the school board since 2006. I was elected in 2006 in a hotly contested election, ran again and was elected in 2010. And as with this coming election, I was unopposed in 2010. Mr. Turner had his first battle for his first term on the board in 2010 and won in a contested election. I've been on the board for that amount of time. I feel like I've made a difference as a board member. I feel like, as with most of the, as with our board members, I feel like we all bring something different to the table. I'm an attorney in my regular life, although I feel sometimes like I spend more time in the district. It's what I love doing. It's what we all love doing.
All right. William Turner, why are you running?
I'm running for re-election because you mentioned something in your introduction about the I-STEP scores and how, yes, we're a diverse district, and yes, we've made some strides, but there's some things we need to work on. And I think the way the board is currently constituted and probably will be come after election, we're making some changes, and I wanted to be a part of that. So I decided that things are working. I'd like to see it continue to improve in our district, and I think the way we work together, we don't agree on everything, but we respect each other, and I think that's key to a board.
What are the challenges facing your district? I think sometimes people think that every school system faces the same challenges, and that's not necessarily the case. And of the 11 school corporations here in Marion County, not to counting all the other suburban school corporations, some of the challenges are the same, some of the challenges are different. From your perspective as board members and going for another 4 years, what are the challenges? You know, what should listeners and who live in Washington Township, who are taxpayers in Washington Township, who are voters in Washington Township, what should they be aware of their school system? What's down the road? Any landmines, any problems, any good things?
You can go ahead. Well, I mean, one problem you're going to hear, and I'm sure you've heard frequently, is money. Money is always an issue. And as the General Assembly places greater and greater demands on school districts with less and less money, and as Congress does the same thing, we have to be creative when we can be creative. We have to make sure that we're providing the absolute best educational opportunities for each and every child. We talk a lot as a board about eliminating problems, stumbling blocks for children. We want to make sure that all of our children have the opportunity to be in a safe classroom, that they all have the absolute best educators. And in Washington Township, I'm proud to say we hire the best educators. So we have the issue, obviously, of money. We also have the fact that diversity presents both great opportunities and also challenges. We need to make sure that we have what's right for each child to the extent that there are differences. We have a large ENL population, English is a new language population. Some of these kids have been refugees and have come recently to our school district. And so you can see how we obviously have to offer them different resources and make sure that they have the same opportunities.
And I'm sorry, and along with that, with the financial part of it, we also have to worry about the way our schools are. We have a very settled district, and we have a lot of buildings that have been around for a while. So at some point, we need to figure out a way to help improve those, whether it's the cosmetically or structurally, such as roof and
listeners may not realize there's two pots of there's three pots of money that you deal with. One is the federal government. You know, that's Title I. It's uncle's money that comes with more strings and on a shoelace. Then the second pot of money is all of the taxpayers of the state of Indiana pay for public education. So that's the money that goes to the basic education of kids, that pays the teachers, that pays the janitors, that pays the that pays everything but transportation. That's the basic educating your kids from pre-K, I guess, all the way up to the seniors at North Central. Then there's the money that comes from property taxes, and that only goes for paying the school buses and the school bus drivers and the diesel fuel that goes in the school buses, and then the cost of building a new school, or if North Central needs a new roof, that's where Correct. It comes from. Each of those have different pressures and no guarantee that it's going to be more dollars. Is that one of the challenges y'all have to balance off?
I think it is. I think one of the things that we've seen in the past when we have going to the public to try to make sure that we have sufficient dollars to take care of our aging buildings is that if you drive by North Central at the speed limit, because that's required, of course, if you drive by North Central, you're going to see a building, especially as you're driving by, that looks absolutely fine. And we are proud of the state of our buildings. We have folks who take care of our buildings and do a wonderful job. But there's an awful lot that we need to do and will need to do in the future that requires additional monies. And so absolutely, the pressure of having the General Assembly or Congress come back year after year with less and less money, but with growing complexity of an already diverse and complex district, it requires us to be creative.
Does the increased use of technology in your buildings, everything from the internet and all these fancy tools and what is it, blackboards that talk to each other, and putting more textbooks electronically in the system where parents and students can find out instantly what their grade is every day and not necessarily wait for the report card to come out, does that all, that's also an additional cost?
That is an additional cost, but fortunately, we've been able to find grants to cover most of our upgrades, if you will, on our IT infrastructure. And we've actually been able to purchase computers and things for students to use through grants. Some of it, I think, we do have to pay out of our general fund, but all of it's together, Amy. I mean, it's a whole pot, and you have to pick which ones you can pay for, which ones you can't.
We're talking with William Turner and Donald Kite. They are candidates, and they're unopposed. So that means, you know, once you start voting for them on November 4th, or if you early vote, they're in. 239-1310, 239-13 candidates for Washington Township School Board. How big a deal is this international baccalaureate thing that every school in Washington Township, from your elementaries and your middles and North Central, is an international baccalaureate?
It's a huge thing. It's something that the district has worked on. It's been a multi-year journey. It was started under our previous superintendent out of ideas that grew out of his administration and his leadership, and then it has continued with our wonderful current superintendent, Dr. Nikki Woodson. Right. It has involved a lot of different people in the school district. It's been a constant, I don't say battle, but again, journey. It is something that makes us, I don't know if you can use the words relatively unique together, but there are very few school districts in this country. I think we're one of nine now, Mr. Turner. Is that right?
I think of the country.
Yeah. And
the entire district is IB, yes.
Right. There are a number of districts you can go to, of course, and find one IB school. But this is something we've worked very hard on because specifically, and I can remember back in the days when my kids, all three of my kids, went through the district from K through 12. Right. I can remember when they were there, you would hear about wonderful things that were happening at one school or another. And you would wonder aloud as a parent or a school board member or what have you, why isn't that happening everywhere? So this is truly designed to lift everyone up.
As you guys go out and talk to the residents in Washington Township, do you get pushback on, hey, I thought we were an A school system. I remember when North Central was the greatest high school since sliced bread, and the Greenbrier was this, and this was that. Do you get that, the fact that you all are, I believe, a B system, I believe? I've got to look on there. Are you all concerned that this A through F system doesn't necessarily reflect what's really happening in your classrooms?
Well, back, I think it was almost a year ago, the board actually put out a resolution that we came out against how the A through F system was graded because it was unexplainable. It could not be explained to our district. So we didn't know how we could get better, how we could get worse. We just knew we'd got a score. But On the other hand, we know there needs to be accountability, and we need to do all we can for every student. So, yes, we do get that question.
And it's a myth, to be blunt, Mr. Brown, it's a myth that our teachers aren't concerned about that. To a person, you can ask all of our teachers, and they all understand and appreciate the fact that they have to be accountable. The problem, as Mr. Turner says, is that the system didn't do that. Now, even with some changes, we do get folks asking us, well, what's happened to this school? What's happened to that school? Right, we tell them about what's going on and the accomplishments and the tremendous work.
Mm-hmm. Are you all, for the board level, are you all nervous about this new I-STEP test, son of I-STEP, that's going to be given this coming spring? And then the feeling is everybody's scores are going to go down because it's a new test going against the new standards.
I think that what we're expecting is that there's going to be, it's almost like anything when you reset a scale. Mm-hmm. You're going to come out with some scores and there will be the Indianapolis Star article. I could write it now, but I guess that's not the way you're supposed to do it. You could write the article now that will say everybody's test scores drop and they'll have a piece on Washington Township, and there might even be a flag in there to Hamilton, Southeastern, or Carmel. But it's going to be adjusting to the new tests and adjusting expectations. Mm-hmm. Our teachers are aware of it, but and they will tell you, as I think most of us believe, that there is probably way too much high-stakes testing and that we need to do something about that, but we have to play under the current rules.
Mm-hmm. When you all, as a board, saw what happened in IPS, I mean, you saw 2 years ago that IPS was running $20 million deficit, a $30 million deficit, and then all of a sudden they turn around and say, no, we're $5 million in the positive. We're going to end the calendar year or the fiscal year in the positive. How do voters and residents know that your financial figures are legit, that you are what you say you are?
We go over this a lot, and I think one of the things about our district is we maintain at least a 10% in our general fund, a 10% cash balance. So we're always at least $6 million or so in the black.
Is the fiscal year a calendar year or is it a school year year?
That is.
Or is that one of those strange things that need to get reconciled?
It does, because I think even our financial manager, our financial officer tells us it's kind of hard to do the budget because they kind of want you to do a school year, but yet it's a calendar year. So you may have the spring of one year with the fall of the next year, and it's kind of a...
Is that something the legislature needs to deal with? Because if you look at it, the state of Indiana's budget cycle year is a school year. It starts on July and it ends in June. So if it's good enough for the state of Indiana, why isn't it good enough for 300 school corporations?
Well, possibly, but I'll tell you, getting to your original question, I think that you would find that we are indeed a transparent district. Mm-hmm. Putting in a specific plug for a specific person, Joe Licata, who is our chief business official officer, is at every school board meeting talking to us about exactly what we have in each of our funds, where there are potential rough patches coming up, and if so, what we can do to address them. And they look in our township for savings everywhere they can. And so that's something that the board is focused on. We don't want to be penny wise but pound foolish and throw away programs that are working or try to cut back to the degree that administrators have loads that can't be handled. So I think we're careful about it, but we do try to save taxpayer money. We're very upfront about it. It's not a behind-the-scenes thing. We talk openly at our board meetings.
How important is school safety? I know you heard the introduction. We were talking about a potential problem in an IPS school, and you guys were like saying, wait a minute, that doesn't sound necessarily right. How important is the role of school safety? What's the role of the board in kind of oversight of administration to making sure that every one of those 11,161 students in your care are as safe as they can possibly be, not just from outside threats, but from misbehavior inside your buildings?
Well, I think safety is always a top priority, I think, within our district. One of the things that the board does, and then I'm actually the liaison for, is we have a safety committee where our chief safety officer conducts like every other month, I think it's every other month, that I sit on, and we always have somebody present at those meetings to talk about safety within the district. So it's always in front of us.
And we have folks in our buildings and who are regularly patrolling our grounds to make sure that they're safe before, during, and after school, and then on breaks. We do have programs that try to instill in our children and our 11,000-plus students what their responsibilities are, positive behavioral supports, a number of other programs that are designed to try to allow kids to blow off steam properly, to learn how to relate to each other, to learn that we're all in part of a system that has rules, and mm-hmm. that when folks break the rules or are not attentive to them, that there can be consequences. People can be hurt, and that's not what we want.
Given the mm-hmm. kind of Rainbow Coalition that is in Washington Township, how do you, in the disparities, as I looked at the federal data, you all are not some of the more egregious in terms of the punishment disparities. Is that, with the federal government now looking at this, with the Federal Department of Education and the Justice Department, you know, warning school districts that you need to have a kind of discipline system that, okay, if it's a serious crime, bam, they got to go. Mm-hmm. But if it's just mouthing off at a teacher, throwing an eraser at a chalkboard, maybe there's other steps to do that. What is your feeling and the board's feeling on the right way of student discipline?
Well, one of the things that we're looking at, obviously, is, as you say, we're certainly not the worst in terms of the statistics. There are districts where the disparity is different. But even when you account for our population, we recognize as a district that as diverse as we are, that you still have African American students where there are a greater percentage of suspensions and expulsions than Caucasian and other students. And so it's something that we're trying to be attentive to. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make sure that our teachers know that, and we think that they do. I've mm-hmm. certainly seen no evidence, me individually, and I can only speak for myself, right. that we have folks who are setting out with a mindset of kind of an unfair system of school justice, if you will, for things that happen in the classroom. But we have had a decrease in our overall suspension and expulsion rate, which mm-hmm. we think is good for everyone. That obviously is something that it has to be intentional. It can cause issues because that means that then you don't have a child, whatever race, creed, gender, leaving the classroom if there's an issue. You still have them in the classroom right. for a teacher to deal with. So like all things, it's a balancing.
239-1310. We're talking with Donald Kite, William Turner. They are candidates for the Washington Township School Board. Let me go to the phones and Brother Motep. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
They just hit on what I was going to ask about. I just read this morning that the state of California is one of the first states to ban suspensions and expulsions for willful disobedience for kids third grade and under. My wife says it should be probably fifth grade and under. But instead of them just sitting up there talking because they run the office, why won't they help propose state legislation and try to get this state to do the same thing, since on the state level we can knock that out? California took care of it. Jerry Brown just signed the law because we know the school to prison pipeline. We know it's a fact. We already got the information. We see what happened in Mississippi. We see what happened in other states. Eric Holder, you know, leaving the post. But he's tried to hammer that on the federal level instead of jogjacking. Why won't they maybe help craft some legislation if they get into school board to help protect their students and help protect African American students and get that done? And I think they're coming out there. Thanks, Amy.
Right, so I didn't know that California had passed some interesting laws. I didn't know California had passed that. Let me get the reaction from William Turner, Donald Kite. Guys.
I'd start with the fact that we are a member of a state association, the Indiana School Board Association, and our association and some of the related groups, superintendents, the school business officials, et cetera, all can propose legislation. I've not seen this specific proposal mm-hmm. talked about in Indiana. I know that we're trying to do, through a lot of the programs that we have in place in our school district now, trying to do some things to make sure that that's not the automatic answer by a teacher, and that we, as I say, we've been reducing our number of suspensions and expulsions. So it's something that comes from the top. It comes from our superintendent.
And we do review, you know, internally as a school board, one mm-hmm. thing we can influence really quickly are our policies. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we do is we make sure that we try to review our policies and make sure there's not as disparate as some others are.
How, from your perspective, having experience on the board, and you're going for another term, how should residents of the district, particularly parents and grandparents of students in Washington Township, work with the board or bring things to the board's attention? Because I'm sure y'all, and now just now everybody got email. You get all kind of emails and tips and or when people see you out in the community, you know, say, hey, this good thing is going on at this school or this not so good thing mm-hmm. is going on. How do you want the community, the voters, to interface with you all?
I, I can speak for myself, and I think my fellow board members would probably have a similar answer. It's Don Kite. I like to get feedback in any way that somebody wants to bring it to me. My wife can tell you I get cell phone calls all the time. If I walk into Marsh for one item, I come out a half an hour later, and I'm not that slow of a shopper. So I can tell you that people are bending my ear, and appropriately so. If you're sitting in one of the five chairs that we sit in our township, there are bigger and smaller boards, you're going to get feedback in whatever way you can. Some folks are comfortable expressing themselves in an email. Sometimes it's in all caps, so you know that you're in trouble. But you can get an email, you can get a phone call. We encourage people to come to our board meetings.
Yes.
There's a limitation on how long they can speak at a board meeting per person, and that's not to disrespect them, and that's not to indicate that we don't value what they say, but because we want to hear from different individuals. There also, folks can just communicate if they're not meeting people, because I know a lot of people don't like to attend meetings, or it's inconvenient, or it's impossible with having children. They can, you know, communicate with us by letter. They can talk to one of us to express their thoughts to another. They can call the superintendent. But in general, if you have a specific problem, your child is suspended, your child is expelled, your child you think is being bullied in school, that should be addressed at the level that is nearest to the child.
It's something. Start with the teacher.
Absolutely.
And then at the building level.
Correct.
Absolutely. William Turner?
Pretty much say the same thing. I think that the one place I think that we don't, all the avenues that Don just talked about as far as email, letters, seeing you in the store, et cetera, are good. But one place I know that some people don't like to talk in front of audiences, and really we don't want you to come in with a specific, like, why did you take my child out of class at our board meetings, because we don't want to pinpoint teachers at the board meeting.
Or break student confidentiality.
Exactly. But if you have concerns about the district as a whole or school as a whole, we would like you to come to our meetings. And a lot of times you'll hear things that we're talking about if you come to our meetings that may influence what you're about to talk about at the when you come to share your thoughts.
In a lot of Washington Township schools, you have strong parent-teacher organizations. Mm-hmm. Does that reach down to everybody, or does Washington Township still have to figure out ways to really engage the parents who really need to be engaged?
I speak as somebody who was a former PTO president at the middle school level at West Lane, and then at North Central, I was the first male president. You can tell that I don't know what opinions people had, because that's not been repeated. but at any rate, I think it is fair to say that, yes, the PTOs do wonderful things, but they don't reach everyone. Mm-hmm. People participate in different ways, and some folks don't participate because they feel either that they're not being taken seriously or they have difficulty participating. So we've talked about even reaching out to apartment complexes and perhaps having meetings there.
Do the board meetings go out? Do you all take your board meetings to the road, or is it just up at the Dean Evans Center over by Keystone the Crossing?
Yes, we're at Dean Evans. We're at the CEC most of the time. We've talked about it as a board to do a mobile board meeting. Mm-hmm. We just haven't done it yet. As Don just mentioned, we talked about going to apartment complexes to get closer to the people. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that's on our list that we have not completed.
Let me go to Mayhem quickly at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how's it go? Hi. I want to piggyback on the last caller. I'd like to know, under these two guys' watch are, if they, whatever, how many children in your district has committed suicide, and stories that you know that dealing with a safety, and what is your definition besides the regular definition, besides somebody walking around the schools and locking the door, consider that being safe? Because when I was going to school, we didn't have that. Doors were freely open, and I know everybody going to say it's a different society, but kids are kids, and I would like to know, what is another definition of safety besides having a school like a prison? Thank you.
The reason the school doors are locked, it has nothing to do with the prison. You just want to, you know, not have people enter every entrance, and just there's one entrance you come into and you're buzzed in like you're going into a fancy apartment building.
Yes.
Or you're going into a bank sometimes.
Yeah. Correct. And we've had security improvements in our district. We used to have some doors that would open directly into, if you want to call it that, the general population. Someone could walk into the school, and if a secretary happened to have his or her head turned, they could walk right in with the students, and that's obviously something we've seen nationally that's led to violence.
Let me ask, what is the policy? Because he mentioned suicide, and I think over the years that's something where school systems are aware of it, but they want to keep that kind of news in family and not something you stand on the street corner and broadcast. What is the policy if there's that kind of incident in a particular building? Are the parents of that building notified?
In general, I can speak to violence in our buildings. If something happens, the administration makes a very calculated assessment of who needs to know and why, whether they have a need to know as opposed to just a desire to know. Mm-hmm. So that if a child brings one of these little, you could call it a toy gun, but something that launches projectiles into the classroom, there has been the decision made in the past that that's something that parents in that classroom need to know. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the entire population of the school district and other schools doesn't need to know. It's made on a case-by-case basis based upon an assessment of the risk and what you as a parent would want to know.
In the whole issue of bullying, mm-hmm. how important is it that if a parent or an adult is aware that a child is being bullied, they need to let the school and the school officials know?
It's very important. And one of the things, though, I think that came out of the last legislative session was the terminology of bullying. I mean, bullying is a very broad term now. So, mm-hmm. yes, you need to let the teacher know.
Because I believe now bullying also includes if you do it with text messages
exactly.
and photos and
right.
Instagram and all that kind
right.
of stuff.
So some of that's outside of the school time. So still, but it's bullying, and the teacher should know first.
Let me take a quick break. We're with Donald Kite and William Turner. They are candidates for the Washington Township School Board. It is a candidate Wednesday as we start coverage of six different school corporations. Lawrence Township coming up in our second hour. Next week Warren Township, Pike and Wayne. And then the following week, the Big Enchilada, IPS, 239-1310. 239-1310. We'll take a break. We'll be back after these.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, president of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
All right, back to the phones in William. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Brown?
Fine. Go ahead, William.
I got a question. Since the problem of the young people today, what a mother faster type a deal. I was wondering what is the definition? Do the school system or the politicians, the legislators, the administrators have for the word bullying? It could mean so many different things: texting or spitting or physical thing, is it a verbal thing or is it a mental thing? Just how do they define bullying?
I think William Turner, what William just said, the caller is all at all of the above.
Exactly. It is everything. And that's a good thing that you're looking for those kind of things, but it's also hard to monitor that when you're looking at so many definitions of bullying. I mean, it used to be in the day where the bullying was actually the physical part of it, or maybe the verbal part, but now it's everything. Like you said, it's from texting to emails to sending something out. Now, younger kids don't use Facebook, less older folks do now, mm-hmm. but Instagram, doing those kind of things. So it's kind of hard to, as a school district, to monitor all of it, but we need to do the best we can with when we know about it anyway.
And we certainly understand.
I'm sorry, William.
I used to tell the young people that I came in contact with, I used to tell them a few ups and a few downs, a few problems on the side. But regardless what the problem was, there's no problem with suicide. That's what I used to tell them, so that they will have something to think about before they commit an act, that they will be, even if it's not successful, they will be sorry for the act, long after, if it's not successful.
All right, that's a good point. The other thing, Donald Kite, is one of the challenges for school board all of this personal electronics that students have and how you regulate it, when the phone is allowed to be on, when the phone is allowed to be off, those kind of things?
It is. I mean, in answer to the bullying question, yeah. too, just so you have, and your callers have this information, our teachers now are required to, in addition to everything else they have to do throughout the course of the day, they are required by changes in state and federal law to now report things that could be perceived mm-hmm. as bullying. Mm. So there's even one more level of reporting right. now. So it's one more.
So it is important for that student or that parent or grandparent to let the teacher know either a face-to-face meeting at the school or, more importantly, the email, because everybody's got to, every teacher at, and school board has email, not to say that every parent has email.
Right, and we obviously, you still have to make judgment calls, but we don't want to be wrong on this, as your callers are saying. The consequences are too great, and we can't know what's in every child's head, so we have to make sure that we can do everything we can to make sure that they get through their day unimpeded. In terms of your question about cell phones and everything else and the right time to use them, I think one of the things that you're seeing in a number of districts, and I certainly consider Washington Township to be a sophisticated school district, is that some of the initial resistance to having devices out ever has been and is being eliminated. So now you have creative teachers who are saying, and I can remember my own son had this happen at North Central High School. He had a device out, and the teacher said, okay, you know, one of the teachers at the high school said, well, let's do this. Let's find out what you can. I don't remember what country, he said, but let's find out what you can about what's going on today in Romania, and you can report to everybody else in the class. So he made creative use of it as opposed to just confiscating it.
In other words, it was, aha, I see you with the cell phone. Turn it on and tell me what the capital of Romania is and why.
Exactly.
And made him use it for positive purposes.
Exactly. That's it.
Is that also a creative way of discipline, with teachers understanding that if a kid wants to act up as an excuse to not be in school, figure out a way, your punishment is you're staying in school?
I think they definitely try to make creative use of the situation, try to get the most they can about all their students, absolutely.
If you're reelected, what's going to keep you up at night?
Some of the things we talked about earlier, the disproportionality, we talked about that. I know we're not that bad, but we're not the best. So we know we have to make some improvements there. And I think our aging buildings, again, the infrastructure more than the outside appearances, Mr. Kite said. You can drive by them and say, hey, that's not bad, but some of them need to work inside. Our scores, obviously, once we figure out, especially with the new grading system that's being proposed.
I was looking at the state board is meeting. I haven't figured out what they're doing at the. They haven't had a fight yet today. That may be the best thing of the day.
I agree with everything that Mr. Turner just said. I will say that the longer that you do this job and the better that it's become as far as Washington Township School Board. I mean, I think this is the best that the board as a collective body has been, certainly since I've seen it. And that's not a negative comment on prior board members. I just think we get along well. And
is there an advantage to institutional memory? Is there an advantage in a school board with all that public education is faced with to have board members that have been around, been there, know that, got some T-shirts in the closet to show for?
And that's the, if you want to use research, that's the research that's out there. The longer the board can stay together, especially if you're doing positive things, the better it is, as well as having a superintendent that's going to be around for a while. That also helps.
And we try, so that you know, we try to be out, I mean, a lot. I think our board does very intentionally. We try to be out in all of our schools so that parents can raise concerns, as I say, those that don't want to go to a meeting, which I certainly understand, and that, so that teachers, frankly, can tell us if they have a concern. Then that's important that we stay that way.
Our standard closing question with all of our candidates that are here, whether they're for the top, the office at the front of the ballot, or the most important things at the back of the ballot, which is our education and our school systems. If people want more information about your campaign, Donald Kite and William Turner running for re-election on the Washington Township School Board, how do they get a hold of you? Donald Kite first.
Well, they can email us. They can go to our website, and it has the link to our email address. They can email us individually or collectively. They can also call us. I don't think that there's a single school board member that doesn't have their cell phone posted on the website. And I get calls all the time, and I encourage people to do that.
William Turner.
Same thing. Our numbers are together. Our emails are in the same place, so it's easy to access us.
All right. William Turner and Donald Kite, they are candidates for re-election. They're the only names on the ballot. So if you live in Washington Township and you get to the back of the ballot, because that's just as important as the front of the ballot, you're voting for Washington Township School Board, Donald Kite, William Turner. Guys, thanks very much for being with us and kicking off our coverage of the school board elections 2014. Thanks very, very much.
Thanks, Amos. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.